Now we come to the so-called parable of the prodigal son. And we'll see in a moment why we say so-called. The background was that the publican sinners came in to hear him by the multitudes. And the Pharisees and scribes began to murmur. Why, they say, this man will receive sinners, and he eateth with them. And he did that, by the way. I can't resist telling the little story about the girl from the slums of London. One night she slipped into a church, and she heard the pastor read this verse here. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And she came up afterward and said to the pastor, she said, I didn't know that my name was in the Bible and that God mentioned me. And he looked at her, she's just like a little waif in rags, and he said, why, young lady, I don't think you're mentioned in the Bible. Oh, yes, said, you read about me. And he said, where? Why, you read where it says that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, and my name is Edith. May I say to you, that's one way, but certainly he would receive Edith also, and he'll receive Mary and John and all the rest of us. Thank God for that. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now we come to these parables that he gave in answer to the murmuring of the Pharisees and scribes because he was receiving publicans and sinners. And he spake this parable unto them. Now this parable is actually in three parts. We call it the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, but actually it's just one parable. When I was a boy, I used to go visit my aunt, especially at Christmas time, and there'd be other visitors there, and they always put me up in the loft, you know, up where she had everything stored. And they put me a bed down up there. And at Christmas time, that always was a very wonderful place for me. The chimney came up through there. It was warm. But going up the steps, there was a picture there that she apparently had had in the old days, but had removed it, and it was what is known as a triptych. Do any of you older folk remember triptychs? Well, a triptych is a one frame but three pictures in it. And this one was of the prodigal son. It showed first the prodigal son in the middle as he came home. That's the great thing. One on the other side shows him going away and having a high old time, and the one on the other side showed him down in the pig pen. The center one, though, showed him going home. It told the story. Well, what you have in the three parables here, so-called, is one parable, but it's like a triptych. There are three pictures that give the message. Now let me read the first one. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you have 100 sheep? If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find him. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now what you have here is, first of all, a picture of a lost sheep. And the shepherd here is the one we think of as being the great shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. We are his sheep. And here this shepherd had 100 sheep. One of them got lost. Now that, frankly, would be a pretty good percentage if you started out with 100 sheep and you came through with 99, but this shepherd wouldn't be satisfied with just 99. When this one sheep got lost, he went out and looked for it. And you notice what he did? He put it on his shoulder. He's able to save to the uttermost. And he'll go out after it and put it on his shoulder. And you know, the children of Israel, their high priest, had on the garment, one of the garments that he wore, a garment that had two stones, one on one shoulder and one on the other. He carried the children of Israel on his shoulders because there were six names on one shoulder and six on the other. And our great high priest, he carries us on his shoulder. we won't get lost. When he starts out with 100 sheep, he always comes through with 100 sheep. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all predestination ever did mean. It just means when this shepherd starts out with 100 sheep, why, he always comes through with 100 sheep, and not 99 sheep and one goat. It's always 100 sheep. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ going out looking for those that are his own. Now you have the parable of the lost coin, so-called. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, she's married, of course, and this was her wedding ring. If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. This speaks of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, his ministry is to make sure that every one that belongs to the bridegroom is going to be there. Every coin will be there. Everyone's valuable to him. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost." Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What a picture that you have here, you see. Now, we come to the third one. He said a certain man had two sons. That certain man is God the Father. It's a glorious, wonderful picture. Actually, this is not a parable of a prodigal son. It's about a very good father who had two sons. Both of them are prodigals, to tell the truth. We'll see that about the older son in a few moments. And this father did not force the boy to do anything against his will. He was really indulgent with the boy. Notice this. And the younger of them said to his father, notice this, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me," and he divideth unto them his living. This is the picture that you have here. Divideth unto them his living. And now notice, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." You see, the father didn't force the boy to stay home against his will. And you can walk right away from God if you want to. That's your business. Have you ever noticed that that rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus, our Lord, when he left him, and yet it says our Lord loved him? Why, I'm sure that a great many people would say today, "Well, let's sing 15 more stanzas and see if the boy won't come forward." Well, that's not the way our Lord does it. You can go away from God if you want to. He wasn't forced. You know, this boy now, he wants to leave home. And he's guilty of what Dr. Streeter calls the sin of propinquity. And that sin of propinquity means that things near at hand are wrong, and things that are far away are the good things. The faraway places are wonderful, but the old hometown doesn't look good. You know, the chief allurement of sin is its mystery. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And there are a lot of people out here in California. They came out here because they thought the grass was greener, and they found out the smog and the traffic both are thicker here also, and things grow here. Sure they do. And so does smog and traffic. And the prodigal, of course, he got the tourist maps and all the folders, and he went around to the travel agencies. So he went away to a far country. And all we're told here about the poor boy is, well, let me just read that again. "Took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He spent a lot of time in the far country. But the Lord doesn't talk about that. There's a movie made of the prodigal son, and about all the movie was about was the time he had in the far country with his drinking and carousing around. Our Lord didn't dwell on that, you see. What happened? Well, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You see, trouble came to the boy in the far country. There's no more nickels now to put in the jute box, and his fair weather friends have faded away. They're all gone. Inflation has come, and his money has already gone anyway, and there'll be no more trips to Palm Springs and Las Vegas. You see, trouble always comes to the prodigal in the far country. The prodigal always gets his whipping in the far country, never gets it when he comes home. When he comes home, it'll be a glorious reception for him there, but, oh boy, does he get a whipping in the far country. And that's what happened to this boy. He got in a lot of trouble there. And notice what happened. We're told here, and I'll read this, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he got at that point, the publicans and Pharisees both winced when Jesus said that, because the Jewish boy could have sunk no lower than to feed swine. And the publicans, they did a little more wincing than the Pharisees, because they knew what he was talking about. Well, he hits bottom. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Well, he's hit bottom. I guess it's drugs and sex now for him, and he's gone as far down as you can go. Even in the pig pen, though, he's a son, and I'd have you note that. As a boy, I went forward when an evangelist preached a sermon, a gospel sermon on the prodigal son. And don't tell me now that you can't preach a gospel sermon on the prodigal son. You can. But frankly, friends, this is not the story about how a sinner comes to Christ and gets saved. For the very simple reason, there's nothing in here about repentance, and there's nothing in here about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The thing is that this boy was always a son. Never any question about that. He was a son when he was at home. He was a son when he left home. He was a son when he was spending his father's money. He was a son when he went and joined himself to that man in the far country. And he was a son when he got out in that pig pen. Years ago, someone asked the late Dr. Harry Rimmer, they said to him, suppose the boy died in a pig pen, what then? Dr. Rimmer said he never would have been a pig. He was always a son, always a son. You see, there he is in the far country. And in the far country, that's where you really get in trouble, always get in trouble there. In the Reader's Digest many years ago, there was an article about I like pigs. And I wondered about it. I thought the prodigal son had written it, but it was written by a lady. She insisted that the pig is the most malign animal, that he's actually not dirty, he's really tidy. He's not a glutton, but he really would like to go on a diet. I'm afraid this lady wasn't quite the authority on pigs that the prodigal son was. He lived with him, and he found out that, you know, down there in that pig pen, oh, it was dirty and filthy, and he didn't like it down there. And you know the reason? Because he was a son of the Father. You know, pigs are the only ones like pig pens. Sons just don't like pig pens, and they're not going to stay down there. And we read verse 17, and when he came to himself, and the preacher years ago in the country said the best place in the world for a man to come is to come to himself. Well, this fellow, he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's? You see, he was a son of the Father. Down there in the pig pen, he could call him my father. And they have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, and I'll go to my father. No pig ever said that, friends. And I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, he wasn't a servant, he was a son. All the way along he was a son. And he said, I'm going to rise and I'm going to go to my father. I don't like it down here in the pig pen. The thing is that the pig pen's a place for pigs. It's not a place for sons. And so he decided he'd going to go home. We come now to the thrilling part of the story. What'll the father do with this boy? Now, back according to the Mosaic law in Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, the father could have had this boy stoned to death. What did he do? Will you listen to this now? And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and said to a servant, "Run, get my switch, those hickory limbs I've got, and I'm going to beat that boy in an inch of his life, because he's disgraced my name and he's spent my substance." Is that the way your Bible reads? Well, if you have followed me in the Bible, you know it doesn't read like that. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, that's the way the Bible reads. It's a different story, you see, here. And notice what the boy, though, did. The son said unto him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son." But what the father do? The father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, he's alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Friends, that's a very wonderful thing. Fact of the matter is, what we have here is this boy in a far country, he knew what misery was. Now in the father's house, they began to be merry. And as the late Dr. George Gill used to put it, he says they began to be merry, and it never says they ever ended. It just kept on getting better and better. You know, when you're in the will of God and walking with him, you have the best time you've ever had. Christian friend, you'll never have fun in the far country. And then in the far country, there were tears of trouble. Now there are tears of sheer delight. He got kicks in the far country. Now he gets kisses. It was rags in the far country and a robe when he got home. He had a ring under his eyes in the far country. Now there's a ring for his fingers. And he had swill and slime to eat. Now there's shoes for his feet. There was fasting when he was in the far country. Now there's feasting. He was a beggar over there. Now he's at a banquet. There was nothing in the world but the jukebox over there. Now there's joy. There was nothing there but fragments in the far country. Now it's the fatted calf. And we're told, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. The very wonderful thing here is that you have this story of the prodigal son. May I say to you, my friend, there is this man that got away from God, and he came back to God. And he came back by confession. The father didn't even let this boy finish his confession. Brought him right back in. This is the way that a child of God that sins, the way he can get back to God. There's another prodigal son. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and draw nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother's come, thy father killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And listen to this boy. Boy, what a complainer he is. What a griper he is. And this is the other prodigal son. And I mean, he's a real prodigal son. Notice this. He was angry, first of all. He would not go in. "Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I in any thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said unto him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine.'" There are a lot of poor Christians today. They're not in the far country. You know, they're trying to live for God, but they're as poor as Job's turkey. And you know why? It's because they're blessed with spiritual blessings, but they don't lay hold of them. God says, "It's all yours." I tell you, my father's rich in all spiritual possessions. Now he said unto him, "Son, thou art with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and he's alive again, he's lost, and he's found." And so he had to get this boy back, but the way it closes, the boy didn't get back. I don't know whether he got back in fellowship or not, but he could come back in fellowship. But years ago, Dr. Chadwick said there's a third son in the parable of the prodigal son. You see, the younger son broke the father's heart, and the elder son was out of fellowship and without sympathy. But who's the third son? Well, the man who uttered the parable, God's son, he's his ideal son, without sin. He came to a far country, not to run away, but to do the will of the Father. Not in riotous living, but in sacrificial dying. Not as a prodigal, but as the Prince of Peace, to shed his blood for the sins of the world. Not a wayward son, but a willing sacrifice, and he came to do the Father's will. And he says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more nor less than just simply believe in his name.